This is Life Matters with Angela Coutoons. A referendum to fully acknowledge Indigenous Australians within the Constitution is being canvassed this year, and now the hard work of hearing all points of view on the issue has begun. On the weekend, a busload of 30 Indigenous and some non-Indigenous students from the central coast of New South Wales set out to retrace the route of the historic 1965 Freedom Ride, led by Charles Perkins. Over the next couple of weeks, they'll visit regional centres in the northwest and coastal areas to gauge opinion on the referendum. A few days into the trip, the group spent last night in Walgett in far west New South Wales, and I'm joined now by one of the Freedom Riders this time around, Gavi Duncan. Hello and welcome to you, Gavi.
Hello, Angela. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, I understand you're also the Aboriginal Cultural Heritage Advisor with the organisation youthconnections.com. How did you spend the night in Walgett, you and your fellow Freedom Riders?
Oh, it was great, actually. It was nice and cool. This time of the year, you expect to be, you know, a bit steamy and hot. Yeah.
So where are you all staying? Are you camping?
Or
are you
staying in Walgett High School.
Oh, okay.
In the school hall. Like a lot of the places that we will be going to, we'll be actually be staying in either PCYCs or community or school halls.
Mm-hmm. I understand you've been putting this trip together for the last few months. Where have you been so far?
Well, we started out from Carrion, which is on the central coast near Gosford. And our first stop was, well, actually we went to Sydney University, where it all started. And we were launched there by Hetty Perkins, the daughter of Charles, and Eileen, who is the wife of Charles Perkins, and also the State Minister for Aboriginal Affairs, Mr. Paul Lynch.
Mm-hmm. And I understand you're retracing the whole of the original Freedom Ride that occurred in 65. How long is it all up? How many k's? How long are you on the bus for?
Just over 2,000 odd k's, so it's a long journey. Around the state, and I could imagine what Charles and the students went through in 65, you know, not having an air-conditioned bus and all the modern things like Facebook and mobile phones and technology.
Yeah. We like to think that a lot's changed in the lives of Indigenous people in the towns you're visiting along the way. Is that the case from what you've seen so far? What are they telling you?
Well, what we've experienced so far in places in Orange and Wellington and even here actually in Walgett, things haven't really changed or, you know, advanced that much in regards to Aboriginal people and non-Aboriginal people in regards to reconciliation since all those years ago. I think it goes to the cause or the root of the problem. There was an article recently, I'm not sure what paper it was only a few days ago, but there was an article where they released so many different statistics about the reconciliation between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people in Australia, and health and you know, health problems and the intervention and other things like land rights, native title, basic living conditions too with Aboriginal people haven't really improved overall since 1965.
And so how are people feeling, do you think, about the proposed constitutional reforms, Gavi?
Oh, I think it's great that the Prime Minister has now announced this, have an Aboriginal people included in the Constitution. A lot of Australians, along with Aboriginal people, you know, don't realise or haven't even seen what the Constitution contains, actually. And a lot of people just don't realise that we're not even part of that constitution when it was, you know, in 1901. And I suppose, you know, in that time in 1901, the federal government, or the first federal government, didn't want to have the so-called black problem, I think they explained it back then. And they left that to the states to handle that problem. And so the states established their own rules and laws, like the segregation laws and all those types of things that were, you know, handed out to Aboriginal people, and the missions and reserves that were created from that period. And so Aboriginal people have had to live with that for, it's a long time to be incarcerated. And, you know, up to 1967 when they had the referendum. And 1967, yes, and 65 when Charles and the students had led that journey, I suppose that was a, I suppose, led to that 67 referendum where Australians then thought, well, we should look at our own Indigenous people and see whether, you know, we can make it more equality.
Well, that's right. I think that's when Aboriginal people were actually given the right to vote. Was that not the case?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, and also, you know, we were flora and fauna in part of the, one of the acts. We weren't actually citizens or human beings, for that matter. So it was, you know, not that long ago, really.
Yeah, that's
just over 40-odd years ago.
That's right.
That we basically had sort of a freedom.
Gavi, I understand you've got a student there, Michael. Would you mind putting him on the line now and we can have a quick chat?
Yes, we do. Michael, yep. And here he is.
Good on you. Hello, Michael.
Hello.
Hi, Michael. How are you? I'm Angela.
Hi. I'm good, thanks.
That's good. How's the trip going?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's going so good.
Oh, that's good. So tell us a bit about yourself. How old are you? Where are you studying?
I'm 15. I was born and raised on Central Coast. I'm a student at Youth Connections.
And do you know much about that first Freedom Ride, you know, in 1965? You're following the same route, aren't you?
Yeah, I didn't know much about it, but as we keep going, I learn more and more about it.
And I understand you've made an important discovery about your own heritage on the trip. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, yeah, well, when we went to Orange, I found a few of my cousins and aunties out there that I never met before.
Really? Yeah. Was it a coincidence or had the meeting been planned?
Oh, it was just coincidence. We were just talking to each other and then we found out we were related.
Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, I can imagine. Have you visited much of rural and regional Australia before?
Yeah, I've been out to a few of the towns for footy and just family.
And are you meeting many people on this trip? I wonder if you've got much in common with, you know, the young Indigenous people who you're meeting along the way.
Yeah, I'm meeting heaps of them. Haven't really got to talk to them a lot, but yeah.
All right. And are you kind of excited by this idea of a change to the Constitution? Do you understand that? Do you think it's important?
Yeah, I think it is important, and it'll be good if it does happen. And yeah, I am excited.
Okay, that's good. All right, thank you, Gavi. I mean, thank you, Michael. It's nice to talk to you. Can you put Gavi back on the line for us?
All right, then, here he is.
All the best. See ya.
Hello.
Hi, Gavi. So, thanks for that. So, I understand you're carrying a message stick on this trip. Tell us about the role of that.
Yeah, well, we thought how, I think in 65, Charles and then had actually questionnaires, I suppose, and it was a different era then, and they were actually putting the question to people of the different towns, Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people, and in regards to the conditions and relations and that type of thing. Our message stick is more of a traditional practice that, which, you know, traditionally when Aboriginal people celebrated ceremony, they would you know, send a message stick around to alert people of that ceremony. So the message stick is a symbol of that, and a symbol of, I suppose, to pass from community to community to put their signatures and their tribal areas to that stick. And we also have a book which we is accompanying the message stick, where people can write their views and have their say in regards to whatever issues that might be, and we're inviting people to write their issues and views so that we could maybe present this to, you know, maybe to the committee that was formed by the Prime Minister of prominent Aboriginal and prominent Australian people, non-Aboriginal people who will form a committee to look over this, you know, this referendum that they might be having in regards to our inclusion in that. And what, you know, we've got to ask, you know, what words, how do we word it in the referendum, you know, into the Constitution? Do grassroots people get, you know, a chance to say an input too? I know it's just been formed, but I suppose they'll have to ask a lot of these questions or send these out to the grassroots people to have a say. Maury was a catalyst, I suppose, in regards to the change of political history in Australia. It, you know, the racism that raised its ugly head in places like Walgett and Moree at the time, and it alerted the world to what was really going on in Australia.
Yeah, Gabby, we spoke to Nolene Briggs-Smith, I think her name is. She's a librarian in Moree, and she told us how when she was a kid, you know, Aboriginal people weren't allowed to go to the swimming pool in 1965 days. Have you been to Moree yet? Has the bus been to Moree yet?
No, we'll be going there tomorrow morning. I come from Moree originally.
Oh.
I was born and bred in Moree.
Yeah.
And so I know the, you know, the extent of, you know, and growing up with racism too in a country town. And that's right, they weren't allowed in picture theatres, they weren't allowed in swimming pools or memorial halls or anything like that. Aboriginal people weren't, you know, allowed to be actually seen on the street in more than three or four people. They had laws like unlawful assembly and those types of laws that existed too.
And are you telling your, you know, the kids on the bus about these sort of stories?
Yes, we are actually, and because, you know, that's the point. It's history. It's the truth must not only be the truth, but it must be told. And this forms what we, you know, what we might be talking about reconciliation. But that's part of reconciliation, is to talk about those things. You can't bottle all these things up.
Mm.
They have to be talked about. They have to be dealt with.
Yeah.
And yes.
All right. Well, good luck, Gabby. So you're going to Moree tomorrow. Are you going to go for a swim in the hot springs at Burren Junction?
Yeah, well, we've got hot springs in Moree itself.
Ah, okay.
In the town, yeah.
And that's on the agenda?
Yes. And also, we're presenting plaques at each of the towns. So we'd like to cement this in history. And also, you know, recognise it, and hopefully Australians will recognise it as a significant part of Australian history.
Mm. Yeah. Good on you, Gabby. All right, it's a pleasure to talk to you, and please thank Michael for us too. All the best.
I will. Thank you, Angela.
Thanks.
Okay.
Gabby Duncan, who's one of the 2011 Freedom Riders, joining us on the line there from Walgett. He is the Aboriginal Cultural Heritage Advisor with a group called Youth Connections.